Welcome to This Just In, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to the special summer episode of This Just In Radio. We're broadcasting live from my Atlanta studios. I'm here with Roberta Mullen from Healthcare Now Radio. Welcome to the studio as well, Roberta.
Justin, I'm so glad to be here.
I'm looking forward to this. But we decided, you know what, let's do a mid-year check-in on where healthcare is headed, innovation, strategy, and public policy. And it's just an exciting time in our industry, great evolutions across the board. And we're really starting to see some outcomes from technology. We've always had the promises of what technology and innovation can deliver, but we're really starting to see, I call it innovation-enabled outcomes. And so excited to get into some of that today. This is my 182nd episode. All right. Beth Friedman, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Justin. How are you?
Excellent. Another co-founder and CEO, Agency 1022. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
You're also a long-term friend of mine and of my family. And but this is your first time in studio and as a guest, correct?
It is. I was telling Roberta, I've often been the one interviewing and I've watched you interview people at HIMSS.
Yes.
But this is the first time where I'm the interviewee.
Well, I know how much wisdom and expertise is in your head, so I look forward to my audience hearing a lot of it. Again, Beth Friedman, co-founder and CEO of Agency 1022. You're out of Atlanta. We've spoken about just the intellectual capital that we have here in our community. We're fortunate, all the companies, the institutions, but we just have an amazing ecosystem here, and you're certainly one of those pillars and foundations. So thank you. So from your perspective, what healthcare or health IT trends are you seeing in the industry?
Well, I wanted to focus my time with you today, Justin, on the revenue cycle piece of healthcare.
Excellent.
I know you've had a lot of speakers on today on the regulatory side, on sort of that patient communication, yes, patient touch piece. Yep. But when I attended the Healthcare Financial Management Association conference, HFMA, this past June, over the summer, there were several key trends that I heard, and they were different than what I've heard before at that same conference. So the first one that I wanted to share with your audience is patient financial experience. So yes, we've been talking about patient experience all day. We've been talking about patient clinical experience for decades. Yes. I really heard the CFOs and the VPs of revenue cycle finally get it, that patient's financial journey,
yes,
is becoming just as important as the patient's care journey. And it makes sense when you think about it. From, pre-registration scheduling, that's a touch point in revenue cycle, all the way to that last bill. So your patient journey starts and ends, really on that financial side. So a lot of conversation about what they can do to improve the patient's financial journey.
Yeah, and I think my audience is grateful to hear your voice right now, because literally everybody else except for, well, Bird Blitch really kicked it off. Mm-hmm. That was, from Patient Co. talking about the patient financial experience. Jeff Brown touched on it a little bit, but a lot of my guests have been doctors or on the clinical side. And so we've heard a lot of the resounding themes, which is what I like to pull out themes, but revenue cycle and payment is at the point we got to pay for all this.
Right.
We need people paying for all this.
That's right.
And so it's critically important. So this is very refreshing that we didn't leave this off of the show. And that's why I mm-hmm. wanted to certainly have you here when we were talking, speaking a month ago about having you on, and you brought up what you wanted to speak about. I thought it was perfect. And the timing is excellent, because it is so key. And it's actually near and dear to my heart. I mean, I love the clinical side of the business, mm-hmm. but I also love the payment side and the revenue cycle. And I call it revenue cycle performance, because you can optimize our current procedures and there's so much that we can do on the financial side to bring a better experience. And so I completely agree.
Absolutely.
So, anything else that you want to follow on with that, or what are a couple of best practices to navigate?
Well, following on from that, yes, at HFMA, there was, yep, one other trend I wanted to share with,
please,
your audience today, and that's the technology piece. So I saw so much more technology at HFMA this year, and being fully integrated,
yes,
into the revenue cycle, into the workflow of the revenue cycle ops folks. So, AI, analytics, propensity to pay, eligibility. I mean, I am seeing so much advancement in the revenue cycle technologies and the integration of that into our workflows. So I think that is a huge area of focus. There's just no reason why we should be doing things the way we've been doing them in the revenue cycle, because we've got so many more advanced technologies that can predict you know, it, the payability of a yes. patient, do that up front. And then that really feeds back into the patient experience because you can manage that patient's account financially, knowing so much more than we used to know in the past. So I think the whole bringing technology to the forefront of the revenue cycle process was another huge trend.
Yeah, no, and that actually was brought up. Our good friend Denise Hines brought up the predictive piece of we're getting better in healthcare at that on the clinical side, but now obviously you bring it up and we're getting better at that on the financial side.
Correct.
You know, which is critically important. Certainly, I mean, we need to predict payment and payment strategies there because we're trying to build an organization and you got to have an eye on revenue of where it's coming from and the collectability of it.
Absolutely. And the biggest sector that I saw focus on at the conference was on the patient pay or the self-pay. You know, that is a growing segment of every healthcare organization's AR.
Yes.
And being able to apply these predictive technologies to that piece of it and then to engage that patient in that financial journey, it's really becoming a big trend.
That's fantastic.
And not even self-pay. The deductibles are so high now.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
The deductibles so high that's you're paying most of your healthcare out of pocket anyway.
And that's the new self-pay, right?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
self-pay, we used to think about our homeless and our Medicaids.
Right.
Now self-pay is folks like me who have a high deductible health plan. And when I go in for a procedure, you know, knowing that I can do a no interest patient loan for that deductible piece, that's huge.
Yes.
You know, that makes me loyal as a patient.
Right. Completely agree. Yeah, I mean deductibles. I don't need to tell my audience they're $5,000 to $7,500. Mine's actually $10,500. I think my deductible is.
Mm-hmm.
But I only pay a couple hundred dollars a month for healthcare insurance, so it is phenomenal. But I'll take it. So what are two or three best practices or strategies that you can, you know, share with my audience to navigate those trends?
Well, we just spoke about one. I just brought one up, and I know your speaker earlier today, Bird, had patient financing also. Yeah. That has become a must have. Some of the VPs of revenue cycle and CFOs I sat with at the conference, they reiterated that point that we can't just think about this. We have to have it and we have to do it very well.
Yep.
Engaging with the patient financing companies and the patient financing programs. So that's a really important strategy for providers to do right now.
Yeah. Cause that actually brings it to another level. So there's patient pay and self pay, but then patient financing is another component of that. And so I guess, if you're integrating all of that, and you can get 0% interest or financing, that's fantastic because I haven't even gotten to that side of the house. I know I'm aware of companies who will finance it for you, and they're a blessing to find for a lot of people because, you know, they can't come up with $3,000 or $5,000 or even $1,000 for some procedures. But we don't want to delay care, as we know 50%+ of people are delaying care based on, you know, Bird's interview earlier. What are some of the products that you've seen out there? So 0% financing or allowing people to pay in stages?
And you know, I'm all raise my hand. I've used a program like that twice.
It's great.
And they're fantastic. One of our clients here in town, Clear Balance, they do a consumer survey every year. And just this past year, I pulled out some of the stats for today's conversation. 92% of the patients will return to a provider if payment options are provided. So, again, going into that patient loyalty, patient financial satisfaction. In the survey, the patients are also sharing that experience with friends and family, which is helping all of our providers. And then also over 50% of the patients nationally now, as an average, have used a payment program.
Yes.
So it has become the norm here in the United States.
That's excellent. Great stats and good strategy there. I just learned something.
Absolutely.
So, excellent. So thinking beyond today and kind of in Wayne Gretzky speak, where's the puck going? What do you think we should look out for in a couple of years from now, and basically 3 years? Where's the healthcare industry going to shift
towards? So Justin, you've been in the industry long enough, and Bert as well, to remember the early 2000s when we were all putting in EMRs and EHRs.
Yes.
And, you know, but most providers and health systems had one foot in sort of that digital boat. We knew we had to get all digitized, but we still had all this paper, right? And people like yourself would ask me a question, how many years before the paper's gone?
Yes.
Well, I think the question now is how many years will we still have fee-for-service? So I think that where it's going is 100%. Call it what you want, value-based, you know, pay-per-performance, risk-based contracting. We are headed there. And at the conference this year, I think everybody accepts that. We're all on that train, and the train has left the station. what we're trying to figure out now mm-hmm. and in the next 2 or 3 years is we all have to figure out what are the best practices to make that successful from technology, workflow, you know, all these new tools that we have, as well as payer contracting, you know, even using the predictive analytics yes. to figure out how can we make better contracts with our payers when we go to risk. So I think that whole journey toward 100%
yes.
Away from fee-for-service. It's going to be painful. It's not going to be easy, but it is definitely where we're all headed.
Actually, someone could say that's provocative, but I love it. I agree with you. That's kind of the health plan that I helped create here in Georgia. We've done away with a lot of the fees. You still have fee-for-service at some levels, but for the most part, all care is included in a monthly fee. And I agree. It's better for the patient. It's a holistic view of the patient. It's not nickel and diming, and they can have full transparency on what they're going to spend on their healthcare costs. And like we have it with every other aspect of our life. Mm-hmm. We have full transparency in almost everything except for healthcare. So I actually agree with you. I was not expecting that, but I love the concept. I think that would be great for healthcare. It's just how do we successfully navigate that? But I agree with you.
It's going to be a journey. There'll be a lot of travails. It will be painful. But I think that it is definitely where we're headed to answer your question.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the speakers at HFMA, when asked about when we would get there, which is the question we always would get, when will we be paperless?
Yeah.
He said it was still another decade away before 100%. And I would concur.
I agree.
And in a decade, we'll have totally new technology. So.
Correct.
Very true.
To support the journey.
That's right.
And that's part of it. I mean, this journey can only be supported.
Right.
Through technology, through mm-hmm. digitized revenue cycles,
yes.
through mm-hmm. data accuracy, data access, mm-hmm. and then also to your point, just on transparency.
Yeah.
I mean, I know actually the White House made an announcement while we were at HFMA, pushing all of us to as a healthcare industry to
yes.
be transparent about our billing and our charges, and I think we're going to have to figure out that too.
I completely agree.
One of the big news items right now is this surprise billing.
Mm-hmm.
You go into a hospital and you come out with these bills because out of network,
yeah.
a complication has arisen, and you are really stymied when you get out.
Yeah, and actually we've got a couple clients in that space,
mm-hmm.
and I have learned so much by talking to them. That, you know, because I'm a big patient advocate,
mm-hmm.
and certainly mm-hmm. what patient wants a surprise bill, correct? But then learning the other side of that conversation
mm-hmm.
is really interesting. Maybe Justin fodder for a whole other show.
Yeah, well, and I agree with that. There's two sides of that coin, because I mean, I hear it from both sides. I hear from the health systems that they don't have all the data they want. They want transparent bills, but they don't have access to that data until it's too late. They're getting random charges and they're trying to consolidate everything. But as patients, we deserve it as well. We can't budget for our families. I mean, people cannot absorb a $5,000. I mean, I have a family member who stepped out of her health plan, didn't realize she did, and then got she actually had insurance. But the health system did not accept her insurance. And she's like, well, then treat me at just going to do cash pay. No, we know that you have insurance. And this is a local facility here, not someone that's been on my radio show. But they would not, because I wouldn't let them be. I don't like that. I think this is extremely unfair. They found out that she had insurance. We do not accept that insurance. And so we're going to now charge you $3,000 for just to stitch up a finger because
wow.
she went to an emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
But she had full insurance, but they did not accept it. And so they would not allow her to do a cash pay. A cash pay would have been like $1,100 for that visit. But because she had insurance, but they did not accept it, it's over $3,500.
And that's, you know what?
That's not fair. That's just...
And you know what? Here you go. So she told you that story.
Yes.
And now you're telling your listeners that story.
Yes.
So to the providers out there listening, patient yeah. financial satisfaction is huge.
Yes.
You know, what if we would have negotiated with your family member and said, yeah. okay, pay us cash. We'll take the $1,100.
Correct. And she offered that.
What a much better experience,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what a different happy. Story you would have been telling right,
right.
now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I gave her the advice because I know healthcare. I know policy. I told her she does not have to pay that $3,500. You negotiate hard line with them and just walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they will eventually accept it, but they basically browbeat her, and
wow.
it was horrible. And so
yeah.
that's what we're fighting for. I mean, on the transparency side, that's just not fair. That's a business practice. That
right.
is not a surprise bill or anything. That was specifically the hospital's mm-hmm. fault because they would mm-hmm. not. So that we need to get away from.
And the surprise bills occur primarily in what you just mentioned. So emergency, radiology, yeah. and anesthesia, and those yeah. three areas. And it's because I think the number is around 60% to 70% of healthcare organizations outsource those functions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So your anesthesiologist.
Not
network. Yes. Right. And mm-hmm. so as a patient, how do I know mm-hmm. that that emergency physician is not in my network? It's an emergency.
Correct.
I'm going to go to my emergency
That's
room
right. That's right.
that I know is covered by my insurance, but I have no clue about that physician.
Correct.
Right?
And I think that onus should be on the hospital, because if I go in as a networked person, I'm going to you because you're in my network, and then you throw all these non-networked people at me.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that.
Well, that's a piece that we need. Just for my audience to educate, is you can't. Healthcare is different today than it was 10 years ago. A lot of us grew up in. You cannot just drive to the local facility or your closest facility. You have got, if whatever your health plan is, you've got to research it, and you have mm-hmm. to know all that fine print. So that's like a public service announcement right there. Because if not, you could very well get a $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 bill that you were not expecting by going to your closest facility. Mm-hmm. It's like when you get on the airplane, they say, "Hey, the closest door may be behind you. Not just in front of you." You need to look at your bill. You need to look at your health plan and know what your costs are based on the facility that you visit, because you could very well get a surprise bill.
Yeah, I think the whole surprise bill conversation, I think that for the layman and for people non-healthcare, it seems like a very simple thing to solve. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of downside risks as well as a lot of complications.
Yep.
And I agree with you, Robert. I think the conversation starts with the hospital and all of those physician medical groups that they contract with.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Beth Friedman, co-founder and CEO of Agency 1022, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
You're very welcome, and thank you for inviting me.
You are a terrific guest, and you gave us some fantastic content to even just think about. I mean, this was a great perspective, bringing the financial aspect. So thank you for rounding out our day very, very well.
Anytime.
Awesome. Thanks, Beth. We're actually going to roll into the HIMSS preview. So why don't you feel free to stay here at the desk? Yeah, great.
Okay. As a HIMSS veteran.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
And Denise and I chatted in the lobby. I saw her on her way out.
HIMSS annual conference. I did want to take a moment just to let everybody know, if you can go, if you have the chance to go or hear my voice now and say, you know what, I'm going to check it out. You know, you will have between 40 and 45,000 industry experts all coming together and leaders of all shapes and sizes. And I think that if you want to grow your world in healthcare, be better at what you do, whether in the healthcare services side or the health IT side or innovation side, HIMSS is certainly the place to go. March 8th, actually, is when HIMSS starts in Orlando. Certainly book your hotel room soon, if not now, because you want to be close. If not, you can be 3, 4, 5, 6 miles away, and that's not as much fun if you're trying to pack in a lot. I think some of the topics are what I'll cover really quick. I would love to get your perspectives mm-hmm. as well. And I think you've already heard a resounding theme today in the show. But patient engagement, patient empowerment, patient enablement, I think are going to be big things. And just consumerism, the continuous ramp up. And you know, you heard the clinical side. You heard Beth talk about the financial side. But it is all about the patient. And we're going to see, I think, much more of that. I love that term. The digital front doors come up by half of my guests as well. Really seeing digital patient management and remote patient monitoring and telehealth and pre- and post procedure management and all that portal management. You heard even from the government how integrate all that with the API. I think you're going to see much more of that at HIMSS this year. We're actually going to host a think tank. We're going to host another think tank. We've done that each year. And I think we're actually going to change it up and do a think tank live on air. So we're actually going to wrap their whole radio show around the think tank. And have a show similar today where we have, you know, a bunch of CEOs and CIOs and C-suite executives and other thought leaders really sharing best practices. So be on the lookout for that. We'll either have it on that Monday or Tuesday of HIMSS. We're still pulling all that together. But again, that's why you want to be there in the audience. You can certainly stream it, but we recommend being there in person. But then I think also Denise brought up some good points. And all of what Denise brought up is women in health IT. I think we're going to continue to see that theme. Even in her new role, she brought up patient experience, digital, you know, obviously the quest of digital health. We'll certainly see more of that. Health equity. It's been something near and dear to Denise's heart. And I know that it's been a big platform for HIMSS. And so I think you're going to see some more announcements and innovations on that at the annual conference. Social determinants of health. I think you're going to continue to see that advance. And then the positive change in healthcare. She brought that up as a key theme coming up. So she kind of let that one out of the bag a little bit. But the positive change in healthcare and what we're going to see from social programs, what we're going to see in innovations. And I think that's great because, I mean, I love positivity. I love to, have the thought leadership around that. And I agree. That's going to be a key theme coming in for HIMSS, I think, I'd love to see that. So, I mean, what do you think, Roberta?
Well, Well, a couple things. The three of us are here. I thought it was interesting because we all go for different reasons. You know, I'm a press credentialed there, and I go and I talk to people for our press side. You go, you keep up your certification, and you go as a member. Yep. But Beth here, she has clients, and what do you tell them? Why do you tell them to go to HIMSS?
Well, that's a great question.
Well, you know, certainly it's for the exposure and brand awareness.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the collection, Justin, you mentioned the largest group of professionals and now global professionals that are involved day to day with information technology in healthcare, whether it's in a health system, whether it's in a physician practice or medical group, whether it's, you know, a long-term care facility or, you know, ambulance, EMS. Mm-hmm. So it really, it's that collaboration of everybody in the entire ecosystem of healthcare is there. And if they're interested in any type of technology, that's where they're going to go. And they're going there to look and see what's out there and what's available. So if my client has something in any of those spaces, you know, they need to be there and they need to make a presence there. So, you know, that's one of the reasons. And then second reason for my clients is we do their speaker abstracts as a PR company and as a marketing agency. Yep. So I think we submitted 6 this year, something like that, which is, you know, 6 of those 900 that Denise mentioned. So we're anxiously waiting to see if we got accepted. But a lot of our clients like to speak at HIMSS.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think if you're going to be an attendee and you hear a company executive or a provider that uses a product speak to it, then it's wonderful to also be able to go meet with that vendor after the speaking session. So probably those two reasons are the most important for us.
And you have follow-up with them. What's their experience after? Like, I think you've had a couple of first-timers. I've actually interviewed some of your clients there. And what is their – after the deer in the headlights that they, you know, get over that.
That's good.
What is their feedback?
Well, it's always a journey, right? Nobody – and I shouldn't say nobody. There's always going to be some exceptions. Very few healthcare organizations are going to go to HIMSS ready to sign a contract. They're going to look at technology, to meet with the vendors, to understand what the different companies offer and to sort of compare them. Mm-hmm. So it really is the start of the journey. Mm-hmm. So for our clients, usually, you know, it could be in 6 to 12 months before somebody they meet at HIMSS might turn into a client for them. Mm-hmm. But it's about that initial relationship building and starting that journey. You know, they always have good experiences. I've not had any client that's gone to HIMSS and said, we're never going to go again. Once they start going, they keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing there, and I'll even follow on that. HIMSS is what you make it. That was kind of in my notes, is that when someone says, well, why should I, what's the value of HIMSS? I'm like, you can achieve all of your goals going to HIMSS. It gives you the platform. Now, you may not be able to achieve them because you didn't do a good job executing, but HIMSS gives you most thought leaders of the industry are there. Mm-hmm. Every big player is there. Most of the major innovators that are making a difference are there. And so you can get everything that you want out of HIMSS. Investors are there. I mean, I think they have 780 in the last Venture Connect, 780 investors. These are huge. The biggest firms in healthcare are all there looking at every perspective.
Government.
Yeah, the government's there. So every thought leader, interested party is there. And so you can go there and you can do your networking. You can do your education. You can, you know, get your exposure. You can learn. I do it because, A, we always broadcast the radio show there. But I learn. I get to see people that I haven't seen in 2 or 3 years or 10 years. And you keep your finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm. So you really do see how healthcare is evolving, where it's evolving, what innovations are coming up next, what people are achieving. I think one thing I'm excited for this year, and you started to see a glimpse of it last year, and I mentioned this earlier, is technology-enabled outcomes. We're really starting to see where the rubber meets the road and where innovation is really assisting care. And then what's the outcome of that? Because it takes years for some of this stuff to come into play. And now we're starting to get some of those results. And every year is going to get better. And that's what I think I'm going to, you know, experience this year going to him. So
one of the things you brought it up earlier today, Justin, was to see Uber and Lyft have such a huge presence at HIMSS. I mean, 5 years ago, Justin, if I would have said to you that was going to happen, you'd be like, no way, right?
Correct.
So – and it's kind of, for me, I like seeing these outside healthcare companies making a play in healthcare, because I like to see where their mind is, where they think they can assist healthcare. It doesn't always work. We've right. seen a sure. lot of failures, sure. right? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to see them. Like I just heard an interview with the health guru at Uber talking about mm-hmm. social determinants mm-hmm. and food deserts.
Yes.
Well, now can we use these Uber rides to deliver food to the patients that we know can't get to the grocery, aren't getting healthy food? Mm-hmm. Let's make a food prescription and let's deliver it.
That's right.
Let's deliver mm-hmm. the drugs, not get the patients to the pharmacy, but get the pharmacy to the patient.
That's right.
So seeing those disruptors at Hims is, exactly. for me, it's kind of energizing, and I find it very – I'm curious, right? So I find it very interesting.
Very cool. And speaking of disruptor, Dr. Sylvan Waller, entrepreneur, phenomenal – just long-term friend of mine, but a great innovator in our town, in our city. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, Justin. Appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You got it. So we're actually doing a – we have about 5 minutes left of our Hims preview show, but you've been to Hims, so why don't you chime in? Why do you attend the Hims annual conference, and will you go this year if you have the opportunity?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it was one of the first opportunities I had to be able to see a lot of different players in the healthcare technology and innovation space. Mm-hmm. Really interesting for me to be able to see, you know, what new technologies and new companies are coming out. That's, you know, definitely the space I play in. And so really important to be able to make those connections. And a lot of those connections I made from some of my early Hims, right, when I was much smaller yes. than I was today. But yes. some of the early conferences that I went to, those relationships, both personal and professional, have lasted. And I've collaborated with many of those people over the years. So super valuable for me individually.
It's excellent. That's a great testimony right there. Yeah, this is my 22nd year going to Hims. So not that I'm that old. I'm only 31. So, I mean, I've been going since I was, what,
your dad
11?
Was taking you.
My dad, exactly.
I actually did take my son when he was about 3 years old. So there you go.
Al, that's great. Love it. Was it in like Orlando or something? Where was it?
I think it was. Yeah. Yes, we did the whole Disney thing after. Thing, yeah.
A fun time. That's great. What are your additional thoughts on Hims? I mean, and you go every year because you have a great perspective as well, being in radio and interview.
Well, yes. I mean, our media going as press, I have to go and keep up with the industry. It is the biggest one. We're going to do a lot more radio next year. But yeah, it's the pulse. I mean, when I go there with three objectives that I look at and say, all right, these are the trends coming up. I got to see what people are saying. And then we report on that going out. And we keep it like in our thoughts on the press side, you know, there. So
it's excellent. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Any final comments or thoughts from you, Beth, or on Hims or even HFMA is a great conference too. We don't mm-hmm. want to forget the financial mm-hmm. component of our industry.
Just on a feedback from HFMA, something very interesting they did this year, and it had mixed reviews, mm-hmm. but the vendors all got sort of the standard basic booth. Like you had to get your booth from the convention hall. So, you know, when you go to Hims, in some ways, yes. it's like a circus, right? Yes, like yes. RSNA is the same way. So
bigger and better, but you know, three-story, but it's crazy.
So, you know, I could see, but it kind of homogenized all the vendors. So it was really interesting because mm-hmm. sort of the startup companies right. looked almost just the same as the big guys.
That's
and
right.
what I think that the end of the day, what it resulted in is many more intelligent conversations about the patterns and trends. It was I would say it was more intellectual
wow.
than it was sales speak.
That's excellent.
And I thought, you know, at first I was like curious about it and not sure of being a marketing person.
Sure.
But at the end of the 3 days, I actually thought it was a really unique way to think about that. And it makes me think, could Hims ever do that? I don't
right.
know that we could.
I don't know.
But yeah. it was quite
a
unique
what's
take.
What's the size? Well, how many people go to that conference?
Yeah, maybe somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000, something like that. Mm-hmm. But they had, you know, just these – everybody had sort of the same booth,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it became much more about the conversation
yeah.
than about what the giveaway was or the promotion right. or, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it was that they were doing in the booth.
I love it.
And I thought it was really
yeah.
unique. And then they interspersed the booths with lots and lots of tables to sit and have conversations. Mm. So I thought it was fantastic.
That's excellent. And everyone, thank you for joining us today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific to hear our latest shows. And as always, you can track me on Twitter at HFT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustinRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. Thanks, everyone. And tune in next week. Take care.